Hi there and welcome to Dialogos with me, Will Milne, where we speak with some of the most interesting and insightful people in the world today. On this episode, I am joined by Jackie Weaver, the Chief Officer of the Cheshire Association of Local Councils, and of course, the legendary figure from the viral Hanforth Parish Council meeting in 2020. Thank you so much for coming on the podcast, Jackie.
It's a pleasure. I'm just really chuffed that you find me interesting.
No. This is one of the interviews I'm most excited for. So I'm looking forward to it. But yeah.
Oh, right. Okay. Well,
I'm sure it'll be really interesting. Just tell me a bit about where you came from. What sort of background? What were your parents like? Quite a big question.
Oh my goodness.
Massive question.
5 years old, tell me about your life. I mean,
that's massive, yeah.
This could be a long journey. oh gosh, highlights. You might not tell by the accent, but I am actually a Scot, born and bred. My parents were Scottish, and I lived my formative years up to 11 in Scotland. I went to the last of the girls' grammar schools in England, and then left home at an early age, bit of a rebellious teenager, fell out with parents, left home early. I wanted in my early years to be a doctor, but in the old days, if you wanted to go to university and you were kind of from a middle class family, your parents would provide most of the funding for it. There was no such thing as grants, so that wasn't an option. So I decided to go into nursing, got a place at a nursing hospital. But in the meantime, because I wasn't living at home, I had to find some way of finding a place to live and then also paying the rent. So I went to work for a computer company. And you probably guess what happened after that. I never did make it to the nursing course. So worked for a number of computing companies over several years, and then went a complete different route, and I went into management training for mother care. And I always think that when you say mother care, it sounds like such a kind of touchy-feely, warm, kind of friendly place to work. No, retail is cutthroat, and it was even back then. So I worked my way up through the ranks from being in the store management team to on the store development team, where you would go out and set up new shops, etc., for to be populated by the new staff, and then eventually to the buying department at Watford, and then got married, had children. Years passed, and I lived in a very rural community. My husband's family were farmers. And got involved with the local parish council, and perhaps the rest is history.
Were local parish councils a feature of your life before that?
No, not at all. And it's kind of interesting because I find this repeated over and over again in conversations I have with people that get involved with local councils, which is what brings somebody to a local council. And very often, it's a sense of injustice. Something's not fair. Something's not right. And in this particular instance, I was very qualified for doing anything secretarial. And the clerk's job came up at this tiny parish council. I mean, we're looking at probably 2 hours a week, something like that. And pay, oh, blimey, I think if you paid £3.50 an hour, that would have been a fortune. And I didn't get the job. Now, it wasn't that my ego couldn't cope with not getting the job. Although my ego couldn't cope with not getting the job. The main issue was that the job was given to the chairman's wife. And the chairman's wife had no capabilities around. Yeah, you get the picture.
Yeah.
And I was so incensed by this, I felt I had to do something about it. Now, I couldn't just go there and push her off the clerk's chair, but I thought I can get myself elected as a councillor. And that's what I did.
So you speak about the sense of injustice that drives so many people to be councillors. In a more broader sort of political sense, have you throughout your life felt moved by certain political, have you been very political and felt that there were injustices that need to be dealt with? Has that marked much of your life, or was that only a later development?
I can't say I ever was or am a political creature. I probably have more leanings towards the Conservative Party than the Labour Party, probably, but I have never been a party member. I've been approached to stand before now. Since the video went viral, and also before the video went viral. I did exist before that. but I've never really... I guess I've always tried to calculate where you can make the most difference.
Yeah.
And my fear has always been that if I joined a political party, I don't care which one it is, then by definition, you are giving up a lot of your autonomy to follow the party ethos, whatever that is. And although I say I tend to lean more towards Conservative, there are things Conservatives do that I don't like. There are things that Labour do that I do like. So I guess I would want to be independent. And in the way in which I think our current kind of governance works, if you're independent, then I think you will just spend the next 4 years whistling in the wind. You'll achieve nothing. So on that basis, I kind of definitely thought about it, but concluded it probably wasn't the right place for me.
Within the sphere of the parish council, do you think you've been able to make a positive difference locally, and sort of how can a parish council impact the local community in a positive way?
I think that's an interesting question, and there's how can a parish council influence what happens locally, and how do I influence what happens locally? I did my time on a parish council. I have been both a clerk and I have been both a member as well. But for the last 27 years, I have been neither. And my job is to provide advice, guidance, training and support to, at the moment, 230 town and parish councils across Cheshire to help them deliver what they think is important in their communities. And I guess for me, that's a really important thing, and I wish it's something that government would pick up, is that I don't for one moment believe I have any inkling of what is appropriate for, I don't know, let's say Little Dithering Parish Council area. I have no idea what's important to them. I mean, that's even in, you know, within my own county. But the important thing is that I facilitate the people who do know what's important in that locality to deliver for that locality. And I mean, certainly over the last, 28 years that I've been in this position, there has been huge change. I mean, 30 years ago, a parish council meeting would consist of largely men. In the rural area, it would consist of largely older male farmers. And we would usually meet in the pub. They'd usually have a pint while they were discussing what was going on locally. And my fondest memories would be discussions about septic tank drainage and potholes. Now, we still talk a lot about potholes, don't get wrong. But precepts, or that the council tax and the parish council raise, would be very low back in those days. And they very much saw themselves as, if you like, the guardians of the public purse. You know, they're making sure that everybody else was doing what they should be doing. So there'd be complaints to the borough council, complaints to the county council, if they weren't doing what they should be doing, or felt they weren't doing what they should be doing. Now, because of austerity, and even prior to when we started to use the word austerity, what we saw was the changes in central government funding to local governments, and by that I mean county councils and borough councils, had been reduced so much that actually there was a shedload of stuff that used to happen out in the parishes that no longer happened. And for a while, the parishes sat back and sort of waited for normal service to be resumed. You know, where is it? And eventually it kind of, the penny dropped. This is not going to change. So now what we're seeing is lots of things that were previously delivered or supported by the principal authorities are being delivered or supported by town and parish councils. An example I'll give you is just locally. One of our principal authorities, because they're trying to cut budgets as much as they possibly can, everybody says it, there's no money. Yeah. And one of the things they were doing was cutting the number of hours, the number of days that libraries were open. And so they approached the parishes. It would be the larger ones, of course, but then again, only the larger ones tend to have a library in their area, asking them to fund or part fund the libraries. And several of them are funding keeping libraries open in their communities to the tune of £20,000 a year for 3 years.
Nice.
Others, public toilets.
Yeah.
That's a very exciting subject.
It's important.
Happen to be out there needing a public toilet, in which case it is an incredibly exciting
idea. Yeah.
And again, you'd be amazed how much money it costs to
keep
public toilets open.
So do parish councils get allocated a certain... How do they get allocated money to do what they're going to do?
They don't get allocated any money.
And how do they do?
They are funded by what is called the precept. So if you look at your council tax bill, you will see on it, I don't know if you live in a parished area or not, but you'll see your principal authority, your county council or your borough council, or both if you're in a county. You'll see fire, you'll see police, and you'll also see, if you're in a parished area, your town or parish council. So it's tax levied on the community, just like any of those. Mm. So it's the parish or town council will tell the borough council how much it needs. The budget and say we need X thousand this year. And then the principal authority, the tax raising body, will collect it on their behalf, just like any other council tax. So, of course, it's banded.
Yeah.
So if you ever want to compare one with another, is this council got more money? And is this council charging more than this council?
Yeah.
You don't look at their overall bottom line. That doesn't tell you anything. Because, for example, the parish that is supporting the library is going to have a much higher precept, isn't it? It's going to cost
it. Yeah.
But the figure you're interested in comparing one with another would be what we call the Band D equivalent.
Mm.
What does Band D property pay in this parish? And what does it pay in the next parish? That tends to be how we compare one to another.
Do parish councils tend to be friendly, non-dysfunctional atmospheres, or can they ever? Do they ever reflect Handforth Parish Council? I read it wasn't just then; it was a long-running dysfunction. Yeah. And also, how is Handforth Parish Council these days? You know.
Well, first of all, no meeting like that comes out of the blue.
Okay.
I mean, nobody gets that worked up about something in an instant.
Yeah.
Okay. There's history. In many ways, that was why I was taking that meeting that night rather than one of my team, because I knew this was going to be a challenging meeting.
Yeah.
So it brews for a long time. Are many meetings like that? No, they are not. But I would say when you have a disruptive member, two or three disruptive members, the effect they have is absolutely disproportionate.
Yeah.
You know, in no time at all, you have a council that is full of people who do not know what to do next. Some just leave, some try and match the aggression, and some just keep their head down and hope it will go away.
Yeah.
Okay. What's happened to Handforth since? Well, that's the point. When you talk about Handforth, it wasn't a dysfunctional council.
Yeah.
It was a council with at least three very challenging members.
Yeah.
They have now gone. And the latest thing that Handforth was doing is that there is, you know, those kind of 1970s public buildings.
1970s?
Public buildings.
Yeah, kind of, yeah.
Yeah, you know, a lot of big panels and big square windows.
Yeah.
Handforth kind of has some very nice areas, but it also has some areas of of real deprivation.
Yeah.
And the council has just taken on a community centre that is very much in need of some TLC and is going to develop that on behalf of the community. And in fact, I went to Handforth, not last Christmas, but the year before. They asked me to switch on their Christmas lights. and the atmosphere was lovely.
Yeah.
As I walked round the, you know, because it had a market and stores and things like that. When I was walking round with the mayor and with other councillors, everyone spoke to them.
Yeah.
They knew them. It was a friendly environment. And certainly that video does not convey that at all. But without the disruption of the three councillors, Handforth has gone from strength to strength.
Have you had any, I don't know if this is straying into, have you had any contact with those council members, or has it just been totally silent, the disruptive ones, since what went down?
I don't know how to say this without it sounding sarcastic. But two of them, the two older gentlemen, have in fact passed away.
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a very difficult subject to mention because on the one hand, I think your human reaction is, oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah.
But I think most of us would feel that actually certainly the council is better without them.
Mm.
I would not wish any harm on them.
No, that's sad, yeah.
But the other one, the younger one...
was he the vice? Yeah. He's still,
The screamy one.
Yeah.
He's still there.
Yeah.
Still avidly reads the council papers, desperately looking to see if a comma has been missed or if there is an abhorrent full stop somewhere that should not be there.
Can you tell me the moment you... find out that you've become the most fit person in Britain or and extended across the globe. How did that? How? Because surely you've never lived in that in the limelight at all. Yeah. Your life has been doing a lot of good work, but not in the limelight. How does that feel? It's literally switched.
Yeah. And I also have often referred to myself as the magician's assistant.
Yeah.
So I like to be behind the scenes,
making
things work. I don't particularly like to be at the front saying, look at what we've just done. You know, I'd much rather be there saying, you know, look at what's happened over there. That's really important.
Yeah.
Then knowing that I've had some part to play in making it work. It's kind of interesting in that the meeting itself took place in December 2021.
Yeah.
And it went viral in February 22.
Yeah.
So it's
22 or 21.
So it's 20 and 21 then.
Yeah.
So it's the following year. So we've got the December when the meeting was, and then the following February when it went viral. So it's not in my mind at all.
No.
We were in the middle of COVID. We were, we're people in our own right. We had Christmas. We had to manage how we're going to do Christmas. All these things were far more important to me even thinking about what was happening in Handforth, and Handforth was done.
My
role was to be there that night to facilitate them being able to hold that meeting. They held that meeting. I gave them back the recording of the meeting and the minutes. My judgment. Okay, so I've moved on. I say there's 230 councils in Cheshire, and so you know there's all the next thing waiting for you to do, and Handforth was not on my agenda. And I was sitting one, I think it was a Friday evening, and a friend of mine texted me to say, you're trending number three in the county, in the country.
Wow.
But you say wow, and I just said, oh, absolutely.
You didn't know that. Yeah.
Not only that, but I don't know what the scale is.
Yeah.
I don't know if one was really trying to, you know, break the trending bank. Would you be wanting to aim for one or 100?
Yeah.
So saying you're trending number three doesn't tell me whether I'm really close to the target or whether I'm just on the scale and, you know, I've got 97 to go. So she was clearly really excited about it, hence the, you know, emojis, etc. So I just sent something back and it was kind of like, ha ha, you know, oh, that's fabulous. I have no idea what you're talking about. Never gave it another thought. And then a bit later, even more emojis, you're trending number one.
Yeah.
So by now, I'm getting the hang of this. So clearly, yeah. One is better than three.
Yeah.
Yeah? And so I thought, I still have no idea what this means. So I text my son, thinking young person, or relatively young person, over 40, mm-hmm. And said, somebody tells me I'm trending number one in the country. And he just be like, a reassuring reply comes back, don't worry, Mum, it'll be a mistake. So I thought, never thought any more about it.
Yeah.
The following morning, I do switch the sound off on the phone overnight. The messages on the phone were just hundreds. Email, couldn't find the bottom of them. And there was somebody knocking on the front door, which leads you to think,
crazy.
That thing must have happened.
Yeah. Wow.
And the first reporter that spoke to me said, you know, can we talk to you? And I thought, all sorts of things go through your head.
You know, had you found out that it was about the meeting yet?
No.
And the reporters come to your door.
And says, can I talk to you? I have no idea what you want to talk to me about.
Wow.
But I guess that part of my job is to deal with things that are often really random. So you get kind of used to just winging it, I guess. You know, wait and see what unfolds and then see what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And so when the first reporter talked to me, I was then able to pick up what we were talking about.
Yeah.
And the only thing I could think of was, what did I miss?
What did you miss?
Yeah, because I was thinking, you know, we're working from home.
Yeah.
We all know that we get into this sort of false sense of comfort when you're sitting opposite a screen. So if I sit picking my nose or, you know, I suddenly scratch under my arms or something, it's like nobody sees it. It's like being in your car, you're in your own environment. The only thing I could think of was, did something like that happen? Or, you know, Stuart, my husband, just really doesn't get the idea of you are talking, you have video and you're talking to somebody on the outside world. So he will often come in and drop me off a cup. I always put a nice reason, drop me off a cup of tea or will start talking to me at the door about whether or not you should bath the dog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I was thinking, you know, and he wandered in his vest and pants or something and I hadn't noticed, you know. So I watched the video again and reassured myself that no, it was really about the three amigos and their behaviour. So by the end of the day, and the day was simply full from 8 o'clock in the morning till 9 o'clock at night, you have to interview.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And then we thought, enjoy it. You know, it'll be over by tomorrow.
Yeah.
And then tomorrow was full.
Yeah.
They said, well, it'll have been an interesting weekend, all back to normal on Monday. Monday was full. And so when I look back on my diary, I must have done 40 interviews in that first week. Easy, because of course most of them are virtual. And they would send the team here to photograph and to do recording, etc. And that just continued for the next 12 months.
Did you not feel a bit uncomfortable with it, or did you enjoy because you're, I mean, the thought just that pretty much most people in every household in the UK know the name Jackie Weaver, know who that is. Isn't that quite daunting or scary?
I think there's two things there. I mean, there's one, did I enjoy it and was it frightening? It happened at such a pace. I don't think I ever had chance to sit back and think, how do I feel about this?
Yeah.
Because almost in every interview that you were in, you were thinking about the next one.
Yeah.
The logistics of the next one. Will this finish on time? You know, where are we about to be for the next one? You know, Zoom teams, you know, whatever. So you're so caught. It's like being in a hamster wheel, I guess. You know, the hamster running round and round. And the hamster, if the hamster stopped to think about what's going to happen when I stop running, then I think the hamster would be worried.
Yeah.
You think about it with the hamster, because I worry about hamsters in wheels.
Yeah.
It's hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that makes sense. Yeah.
And do I worry about being a household name? I think one of the things that has been really important in kind of, I suppose, grounding me is the phrase, is I have three sons who are utterly unimpressed. I mean, I think if I'd actually built my own rocket and sent myself to the moon, they might be slightly more impressed. But, you know, yeah. they're men of a certain age.
Yeah.
You know, no, they just kind of like take it in their stride. That's what we want to do. Yeah. And work, because I've continued to work all through that period, still do now.
Yeah.
And in Cheshire, I'm still Jackie Weaver, as I am as well.
Yeah.
So that's very, for me, that's very grounding.
Yeah.
I realise that I'm perhaps not as special as people tell me I am.
No, you're a legend in many people's eyes. So, I think you mentioned somewhere that sexism was a part of. You felt that interview was a window into sexism. Could you expand on that? Has that been a theme? Have you seen that across your life? That sort of behaviour against you. I guess that was
Right. Let me unpick that a little bit. I don't think that was a sexist rant.
Okay.
Don't forget, I know the history.
Yeah.
I know that they were equal opportunity abusers. So the clerk was male, is male. Ashley is the man and is still there. But the behaviour they doled out to Ashley was just as entertaining as the behaviour they have with me.
So
in that respect, I think it's more a... For them, I think it was more of a power struggle than it has anything to do with sexism. And I, looking back on it, I look at my own life experience and can honestly say I don't feel that sexism has played much of a part in my life.
Yeah.
Now, whether that is because of the jobs I've had, the people I've worked with, the fact that my family is entirely male, I have three sons and a husband. Whether those things are what defines that, I don't know. But one of the things that shocked the hell out of me was the amount of communications I had from women's groups, and I mean women's political groups, groups who perhaps support female solicitors, female judges, female... school governors, female head teachers, female nurses, all that kind of thing, female students, lots and lots of different organisations that I never even knew existed, contacted me and asked me if I would talk about my experiences and also about handling difficult people. And when I listened to their stories, I was horrified. I mean, when we talk about sexism, I mean, I think of that as being something from my youth.
Okay.
I don't mean necessarily was happening to me when I was young, but it's kind of from that era, right? Yeah. 60s, 70s.
Yeah.
And I must admit, through my own naivety, I thought we'd resolved this.
Hmm.
I mean, don't get me wrong, there'll always be pockets of it. There'll always be people who are just challenging people. But I thought as a community, as people, I thought we had come an awful lot further than we have come. And that shocked the hell out of me, because I realised that although my lived experience had been very positive, it sure as heck wasn't the same for an awful lot of women.
I see. Thanks. Well, do you plan on staying on as the chair of Cheshire Cheshire County Council's how long do you plan to stay for that?
Well, my fancy job title, which I'm sure I got one year in lieu of a rise, I'm the chief officer of the Cheshire Association of Councils.
Oh, sorry. I got it wrong.
It's a huge mouthful. It's a member-based body.
Yeah.
So that the town and parish councils choose or not to join the association. And in turn, we're affiliated to a national body called the National Association of Local Councils. The National Association aims to speak on behalf of, believe it or not, the 10,000 parish councils we have across the country and the 100,000 town and parish councils we have. So our role is, as I say, to provide support, training, guidance, anything they need. The other thing that we do as a body is we provide an interface between the town and parish councils and the other tiers of local government. You know, so for example, one of our principal authorities has nearly 100 parish councils in its geographic area. To engage with all those parish councils is really challenging. So what it works through us. So we in turn kind of engage with the parishes and kind of speak on their behalf. So that's what I do. It's an incredibly varied job.
I mean, that many councils, that's masses of work.
Yeah. I don't do it on my own. There's a little team of us. And don't forget, we're kind of really here for problem solving.
Yeah, but there must be problems.
Fingers crossed, they don't all have problems at the same time.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah.
You know, so most of them are kind of getting on with their own thing, and then they come to us for training or for, you know, and also we do a lot of, pushing out information so that, you know, they're ready for the next thing that comes. But they don't all need support at one time. Otherwise, that would be a challenge.
Well, thank you very much for featuring on an episode of the podcast. I really enjoyed it, and I hope you enjoyed it as well.
Who doesn't enjoy talking
about it? Yeah, no, it was very fun.
Thank you so much for listening to that episode of Dialogos. Hope you enjoyed the interview with Jackie Weaver. I certainly did. And yeah, stay tuned for more interviews with more really interesting people. Thank you.